Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Thank you, musicians. I want to talk to you tonight. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, but I want to talk to you tonight a simple message on making wise decisions. Making wise decisions. And I'll be honest with you, when I started, I figured, you know, I just wrote 2 pages of notes. But as I continued on, they got a little longer and a little longer and a little longer. So how long is this sermon going to be? It's going to be as long as it is. And, you know, if it gets too long, then somebody give me the high sign. My wife's in the back. She'll give me the high sign. And she'll, the high sign, cut it off. And then we'll begin again next week. But I really feel like I'll probably get through it, in my opinion. But here's what it said in the book of 1 Corinthians 10, 6. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not going to find it, say, go ahead, I'm a heathen. Now, these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble. Ooh, you was all right till I got right there, wasn't you? I'm good on them other ones, preacher. Do not nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for who? Our instruction. Upon whom the end of the ages have come. Now God, what Paul was writing here is that these things were recorded for our benefit and for our instruction so that we don't follow down the same paths as some of them did. It's amazing when you see your family destroyed by alcoholism, by drugs, or laziness. But yet if you don't change and you follow their example, you're going to get what they got. So about a year and a half ago, I think, I preached on the path because the path has a destination. And whatever you walk down is where you're going. It has a destination. If you get on this path, it's going to end here. But at some point in time, you got to get off the path and make some wise decisions or wise choices. So these choices are life-changing, even though we don't give them that credence. Oh, this is a little choice. That's a big choice. But all of our little choices leads up to the big choices. Now, let me just give you a little bit. I'm going to go kind of quickly. And you can write scripture down, and I'll be gone usually by the time you're there. But Lot made a choice where to live. That's all he did. Made a choice where to live. And as a result, according to Genesis chapter 13, chapter 13 and 14, as a result, he experienced war and kidnapping. Just because he decided where to live. You know, some of you, I'm going to get ahead of myself. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That's how I felt last week. The Lord has delivered me. And that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. If you don't think where you live is important to God, then you're missing a whole point. Because you can, listen, my whole neighborhood's blessed because I'm in it. Pastor, that's arrogance. No, it ain't, man. I'm blessed. I expect wherever I am to be blessed. The last neighborhood I lived in for 12 years, those people told me. They said, we didn't know each other before y'all came. When y'all came, y'all would talk to us. And y'all would talk to each other. And so my neighborhood is blessed. Matter of fact, my neighborhood is blessed because some of my neighbors around the corner are here tonight. And they might have thought it was blessed because they were there, but it ain't. Rick and Sharon, it's because I'm there. But you understand what I'm saying? If you live in turmoil all of your life, and you think it's going to change, if you don't do something, it's not going to change. So because of the fact that Lot decided where to live, made a choice, he made a wrong choice. Then verse 9 of 2 Peter 2 says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And what I want to say here is that God was saying he knew how to deliver Lot from this situation. He knows how to deliver you from it. So because of the fact that as a result of Lot's choice, he experienced war, kidnapping, oppression, and torment by the ungodly citizens of Sodom. If you was wondering where he lived. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we all know that story. Or if you don't, look it up. He had the loss of possessions. This is because of the choice he made. You don't think God cares where you live? Because of the choice he made, he lost his daughters. He lost his possessions. He had the death of his wife and incest with his daughters. I know, this is gross. Some of you are like, that's in the Bible? Yeah, man. Well, what about David's choice? David chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba. And I love when people go, well, I didn't choose this. Right. You ever talk to folks who have been unfaithful to one another? Well, I didn't choose this. Really? Well, that's another thing. That's called rape. Is that too much for y'all on a Wednesday night? I've been out of the pulpit 5 weeks. Now, I've been preaching on Sunday. But anyway, that's called rape if it wasn't a choice. You made a choice. Oh, the devil just lured me away. You made a choice. Pastor, I was doing good, and then the devil. You made a choice. You know, listen, I've seen the devil. I've seen the effects of the devil. Come here. Wait a minute. I'm not a good lure. Come here. I've seen the devil, and she's a pretty devil, but lure. Come on, just lure. Lure him. But I've never seen the devil physically push him. I've seen the devil lure. But never push. Don't get mad. Yeah, I'm having way too much fun, you young joker. And I'm a little old. I don't know what I'm doing. Thank you, Justin, being a good sport. But you understand what I'm saying. The devil never pushes you to do it. We feel the impulse, because the Bible says we're drawn away by our own lust. But it's still our choice. And David chose not to be where he should have been, which was out at war. He chose when he was on the balcony, when he seen Bathsheba. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but I also know women. Y'all won't talk about it. Let's talk about it. I personally believe that Bathsheba knew David was going to be out there. And all the ladies said, probably so. I mean, come on, he's the king. You know why? Anyway, she was out there. He walks out. And he goes, oh, man, what a beautiful, hey, how you doing? And listen, he could have turned around and went back in. But that's not what he did. Then he began to formulate a plan. Is that a choice? That ain't the devil. He formulated a plan. David chose this, and as a consequence, he suffered the death of an infant son. He suffered, you think your family's messed up. Listen, a daughter molested by his half-brother, or by her half-brother, the son killed by the vengeful brother. And then the vengeful brother also led a rebellion against his dad, who shamed him publicly and whose death brought even more grief to David. And what I mean is that son eventually died, and it brought more grief to David. Because see, listen to me. Listen to me closely. If you don't get nothing else out of this service, sin always brings grief to more than just the one sinner. Always.
Amen.
Well, this is me and my sin, man. I ain't hurting nobody.
You're hurting somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I might not know who it is, and you might not know who it is, but somebody who loves you.
Right. Well, nobody loves me.
No, you just won't let nobody love you, but somebody loves you. And if you can't find anybody else to love you, Jesus loves you. And so you said, I ain't hurt nobody. Yes, it's a choice. I don't have a choice in this. Yes, you do. You didn't have to get in the car. You didn't have to go buy the liquor. You didn't have to go buy the drugs. You didn't have to go call the girl on the phone.
I was just going to tell her it's over.
Whew. But with Lot and David illustrating the need for us to make some wise choices, let's consider something. Point one. Choices which greatly affect our lives. Let me talk about a few choices. Now, this is not an extensive list. Just some things that I was writing down. All right? Number one. Here's my next one. Choosing Jesus. What greatly affects your life. Is anybody been affected by your choice to choose Jesus? My Lord. I mean, my wife, who got saved on May 4th, 1980, her life completely changed trajectory because of that one decision to get saved. I mean, I could tell you some stories about her. But the main one I want to tell you is if she hadn't got saved, she'd have missed out on. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the great life that she has been able to live. Oh, y'all thought it was me. Thank you very much. Yeah. No, but you understand what I'm saying. Choosing Jesus, will you follow Jesus or not? I just can't. Well, why not? Who's stopping you? The other choices that you're making.
other choices that you're making is stopping you from following Jesus. But here comes a bit more. Not just choosing Jesus, because I know people who chose Jesus, but then will I be a disciple? Now that's where the rubber hits the road. Well, Pastor, wait a minute. I am a disciple. Really? Are you doing what disciples do? Well, I don't know, because I don't know what disciples do. That's why you're not a disciple. They go hand in hand. You know, it's like somebody told me, act your age. I don't know what this age acts like because I've never been this age before. So I have to look at other people and find out how I'm supposed to act. And I've decided I don't want to act like them. So I'm going to do a new path. Or will you refuse to accept the gracious offer of salvation? Because what Matthew says, come to me, all that are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, for it is easy. Take my yoke from me, and for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Man, that's a good offer. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The one decision, this one decision will affect your life more than any other decision in your life. If you'll make that one decision, I choose Jesus, but not just choosing. Because I know people who make a choice to ask Jesus to come into their life, but they never go on to become a disciple. See, it's almost like you're engaged, but you didn't get married. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you ask Jesus to go steady with you, but you still got your eye on other things in case something better comes by. No. See, that's the difference. My wife and I, we're not engaged. We're not just dating. We do date, but we're not just dating. We're not just engaged. We are married. What does that mean? That means I am closed off to anybody else. That means that anybody that comes into my world that wants me to do anything against her or with them that would crush her heart is a no. And that's the way we got to be with Jesus. That anything that doesn't bring him honor, that doesn't bring him glory, that doesn't bless his heart, we should say no to, because I'm not a part of that. That's part of being a disciple. See, it will determine if that one decision of asking Christ to come into your life and then you becoming a disciple, that one decision will determine the place where you spend eternity. See, that's why I don't point at nobody if they're here. But that's why so many Christians are living through hell trying to get to heaven. Because they got just enough of God that they can't enjoy the world, and just enough of the world that they can't enjoy God. Man, just go ahead and step into the water, man. It's good. He's been good. It will have a bearing. That one decision will have a bearing on every other decision you make. Me serving Jesus has a decision of where I go, what I do, what I allow, everything else. Well, Pastor, it all filters through Jesus. Yes. Why? Because he is my everything. As a disciple, you'll be concerned with doing his will. You know, somebody goes, well, I ain't ever going to be henpecked. Because you don't, then that means you don't really love. I like that. I don't mind being henpecked as long as I like the hen doing the pecking. Now, if you ask her, I'm not henpecked. And I'll tell you right now, I ain't henpecked. I'm a man. But I'm so glad she's a woman. And when we get back, anyway. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? All right? As a disciple, you'll be concerned with doing the will of God. As a disciple, you'll simply not say, I'm going to do my own thing. I'll make my own decisions. Why wouldn't you want somebody to help you make decisions that know more than you do? Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So So choosing Jesus. Let me give you another one. Are you ready? Choosing a career. Wait a minute, Pastor. You mean God has an opinion? Yes. Yes, he does. That's why some folks are so miserable. You're in the wrong career.
Amen.
You're in the wrong career. From a worldly viewpoint, your choice is important. The job market is always changing. The wrong choice could lead you to financial ruin. The wrong choice could lead you to fiscal hardship. Well, Pastor, I just want to be a bum. Well, that's not God's will for your life. How do you know? Because the Bible said a man that don't work shouldn't eat. Really? Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. All right? It's going to affect your marriage. You know, if all you do is work, you know, my wife at one time called the church the other woman. That's the other woman. Why? Because that was my that's my passion. And as a Christian, I have to be careful of that. As a pastor, I have to be careful of that. Not to put the church over my wife. Because what gives me the right to be your pastor is pastoring my family well. That's what gives me that right. All right? You know, it affects your marriage, your family. It affects your service to God. And, you know, it has lasting effects on us, your career. Make the choice to honor God first and you'll be blessed. That's what the Bible teaches us in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, Pastor, I can't do anything. Listen, you can do something, but why don't you begin to pray while you do something? Not everybody's doing exactly what they want. I flipped hamburgers before I ever got this preaching gig. And if this preaching gig didn't work out, I'd go back to flipping hamburger. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And I don't mean to be, you know, flippant with this preaching gig because it is a call.
Right. Amen.
Somebody said, well, I just feel like I'm called to preach because I wanna sit on the couch and eat fried chicken. Well, you ain't called in, you little lazy sucker. You want to see what real work is, you come hang with us. We've got people on our staff said, I didn't realize that I worked harder as on staff than I did before. But we work, man. If you make money, do I have this one? I don't have that one. If you make money the primary factor for your decision, destruction will follow. Yeah, you got to make a living. You know, my youngest daughter, who's over in the youth now, she was on worship team tonight, and she goes, when she first came to me, she said, Dad, I think I want to be a teacher. And I go, what? She goes, I think I want to be a teacher. And at that time, I said, you know, teachers like make $30,000. Now, some of you are like, that's a lot of money. Well, college is $80,000. When you have to pay for it. Can I rant for just a minute? When you've done what is responsible and you've got a little bit of savings and you've been a good steward with your money, you have to pay for college. Nothing wrong. You got yours paid for? Well, bless God, just don't tell me about it. But anyway, so I told my daughter, I said, honey, I said, you do realize what a teacher makes. She goes, yeah, I think so. I said, what do you want to be? She goes, I want to be a secondary mathematics teacher. I said, the numbers don't add up. Add up your own numbers.
Right,
I'm going to pay 80 grand for you to make 30,000 a year. How about if I pay 80 grand and you become an engineer that'll get $250,000 a year, and then when I retire and need a nursing home, you get me a really nice one. But here's what her response was. She goes, Dad, but worship leaders don't make much money. And I know that I'm called to lead worship and be worship. And I can be a teacher and make a decent living and still be a worship leader. And I said, well, you had to go all logical on me. all spiritual. Where do we sign? Because what do I want? Do I want my daughter making, you know, $250,000? Yes, I do. Or what do I want more? Her fulfilling the call of God on her life. And that's what I want. Now, wise choices. Wise choices. If she'd have come to me and goes, Dad, I want to go to college and learn how to cook fries. And say, you want fries with that? I would go, no, we're not going to do that. Because I can teach you that right here without spending $80,000. All right. Here comes another one. It's 809. I might. I don't know. We got time. Choosing a mate. Some of you are like, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Bring it on, bro. Bring it on. Choosing a mate. Do you know most of your problems will be because you chose the wrong mate? Y'all don't see what I see up here. I see husbands looking at their wife. Wives looking at their husband like, oh, Jesus. And then some of y'all ain't got a mate. Y'all just like, oh, John, I just want one. I don't even care what he looks like. I just want somebody. But trust me, you don't want just somebody. Well, God doesn't care who I marry. Yes, he does. Well, God, Pastor, I married the wrong one. So No, you done did it now. You done did it. So let's work on the one you did it. All right? Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs that God hates divorce. Choosing a mate, this choice will determine to a great extent the degree of your happiness. That's why I choose wise. Pastor, I need me somebody fine. Now, I don't know this from experience, but my wife does. Somebody who you used to think looked good, stuff happens. Gravity happens. Your chest sinks to your drawers. Yeah. Your hair turns gray. What don't turn gray turns loose. Right? Sometimes if you're a woman, you'll begin to grow wings. You fly away on your broom. No, I'm just kidding. Again, I don't know nothing about that, but my wife does. Because, man, when she married me, pow, pow, pow. Had a six-pack. Now I got two kegs. When she married me, a head full of hair. Now I'm doing everything I can to keep it in there, man. Understand. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who shames him is like rottenness in the bones. I'm so glad that my wife makes me look good. And yours does too. I see some of y'all come in. If your wife wasn't with you, I'd just make you turn around. No, you too ugly. Get out. Make a train take a dirt road, man. It will have a permanent bearing on your children and their emotional well-being. If all your children do is see you fight, well, children are resilient. But that's why children are crazy. They grow up and be crazy people. I mean, you look back on your own life. If all you did was see your mom and dad fight and fuss and wish they wasn't together, then you have issues. You have issues. You may think that you can simply divorce the person and turn back to, you know, well, it was a bad choice. I'll just divorce them. I can't believe you hear that. Well, if it's the wrong person, I'll just divorce them. If they turn out to be stupid, I'll just divorce them. Let me go and help you. You're stupid. Y'all did not come here to be abused, did you? Y'all are like, when's Justin preaching again? That's what I need. At least he don't get in my business. He just gives me facts. But once you have children, then there's no reversing your part in their life because you're always connected. Always. Well, not when they get older. No. Always. Always. And every time you see them, you're going to be thinking, what was I thinking? What you was thinking is you wasn't making a wise choice because you didn't ask God. Now, I wish I could tell you that if we ask God, it always works out. But it don't. Why? Free will. But if both people are asking God, man, it's a great marriage. I wish I could tell you that me and Sherry never had cross words or anything like that, but we do because she has an opinion. And if she didn't have an opinion, we wouldn't have issues. But she does. And she likes telling me her opinion quite frequently. But I can tell you that I know I married the right one. And I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. And I do stuff like that to keep it that way. All right, you understand what I'm saying? All right. How about this? Choosing a mate? How about this one? Choosing your friends. Pastor, I just want a friend. I don't even care what kind of friend they are. And that's your issue, man. I would rather be alone walking in the right direction than surrounded by people heading down a cliff. Let me ask this question, and I want you just to be sincere, but if you understand, if you've been there, that you've had to walk alone because there was nobody around you that would walk with you in the direction of godly counsel and walking in a godly way, but you had to do it. Come on, lift your hand. Yeah. How many of you are better because of it? Because in the times when you were all alone, that's when you were communing with God and talking to God and getting your issues worked out so that you could be a good friend once you get one. Good preaching, Pastor. It was the choice. Having close friends can be a wonderful blessing. Now, let me help some of you out. You know, some of us, I've had people say this, well, Pastor, you've got so many close friends. No, I have a lot of friends. But close friends? And please, don't be offended. Don't be upset with me. Because after I say this, people are going to go, Pastor, I want to be your close friend. It don't work that way. Usually if you come to me and go, I want to be your close friend, I'm going to go, hey. I mean, but the statistics are, if you have 4 close friends, But the statistics are 4. If you have 4, you're doing great. And everybody needs 4 friends because usually 1 out of the 4 is crazy. And if you don't know which one's crazy in your 4, you're it. I mean, my close friends. I'm not talking about, I've got friends that I could, hey, come over and help me take a tree down. Or hey, would you give me a ride? Or hey, and now when you get to this level, it starts standing out. Hey, can I borrow you $20? my oldest daughter, she got married back in April and during the COVID thing. And she was like, hey, Dad, so-and-so sent us a gift. I go, yeah, that's our friends. Your friends are broke. Our friends have money. If you 30 years old and married, you ain't got no money. You got to get somebody 50 years old. Yeah? Then they'll give you a little $20 little gift, Yeah? That's why you got to invite the old people, man. Look around at somebody old and say, thank you. Don't you look up here. I'll throw this microphone. But you understand, you got to have those friends, man. So you got to choose your friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all time and a brother is born for adversity. But having the wrong friends is a curse. 1 Corinthians 15:33, when I would pray with my daughters, and every once in a while, my daughter, who's 23 years old, but she still lives at home, gainfully employed, but she lives at home, and I will sometimes, you know, she'll get really upset with me if y'all tell her. But she'll say, Daddy, can we do our night-night prayer? Because I've done it all of her life. And the night-night prayer is the same. I always do it. And part of it is 1 Corinthians 15:33. I said, help her to make right decisions and right friends. Why? Because, and I'll stop and she'll say, bad company corrupts good character. Again, I would rather have good people in my life, a few, than have a bunch that you can't depend on or lead you down the wrong direction. And let me tell you something. As long as you've, and let me tell you something. If when things are going well in your life and you've got a little bit of money, you got to be more careful. Because now everybody wants to be your friend. Especially if I remember when I used to buy all the drinks. All of my friends were broke. I was a hard worker. And I quit buying the beer and buying the drinks and buying the stuff. All of a sudden, they didn't want to go to church with me. Like, what up with that? Am I making sense to you? All right. Here's another one. And I've already talked a little bit about it, choosing where to live. It was the choice where Lot made his mistake, is where to live. It appeared to be a sound business decision. Him and Abraham, they said, we got to part because our herdsmen are getting into fights. And Abraham said, man, I'm so blessed. Bro, you just pick which one you want, and I'm going to go to the other, and I'm going to be good. And so Lot looked out there, and he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was good for his flocks. And he goes, hey, I'll take this right here. But then when you find Lot again, now he's living in the city, done lost his herd, lost his flock, and now he's living in the middle of sin. Why? Because he made a business decision, not a God decision. But it was a good business decision, but a poor moral decision. Well, I'm moving for this job. It's got to be God's will for me to move. But you ain't checked out if God has you a church over there, doesn't know if you had a right. I just got to find one when I get there. No, baby. I know people who didn't move because they found a good church. Matter of fact, I'm looking for her right now. There she is, Rose in the back. She said, I was moving to the Carolinas, and I found this church. I'm like, I ain't going nowhere. And now she's so involved. I'm so glad you didn't move. Amen. There's some other folks, I'm giving them brochures. Man, you looked at this house. That's a nice house up in Georgia. Upon what basis do we choose where to live? Upon what basis? Is it based solely on how much of a house we can afford? You know, I built our house 12 years ago, when I bought the property, people goes, oh, that's a bad poor business decision. I go, well, number one, I'm not making it based on a business decision. Now, you know, you got to have wisdom. But I go, it's still going to be worth what I put in it, and it's going to be good, but this is where I want to live. And they were like, but it's going to be, all the other houses are like from the 1980s and early 90s. I don't care. This is where I want to live. And that's where we live, and we've been very happy for 12 years at that house. 13 years. Yeah, we've been happy there. Is it based on location? Is it based on school? Is it based on work? What is it? Do we consider whether it will help or hinder our service to God and the church? Oh, I got this great property about 27 miles away, and you used to volunteer, and you used to serve, but now you can only come to church once every 2 weeks because you're short on gas money? Come on. Or so far away, you just don't feel like driving? You got to ask those questions. There may be even a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah there. I don't want to raise my children in a Sodom and Gomorrah neighborhood. Do you know what I did before we bought the property where I live? I would go there on a Friday night. Cut my car off. I just didn't do it once. I walk around. Let's see how many crazy people here. Because I got a limited amount of bullets. I know I offended somebody right there. I just, yeah. It's all right. I checked it out. I went when it rained, see if it flooded. I went when it sunshined to see if there was anything happening. There was that one gopher, but I moved him before they found it. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding. He still lives at the end of the street. But anyway, saw him today. Matter of fact, baby, saw him today. All right, I'm not going to get to point two and three. And you're like, oh, thank God. I've had about all of you I can stand. Justin? Even Ryan's like, here, get to the next point, bro. Go on. Ryan's like, I'm ready to leave too. You done aggravated me. For every action, there is a reaction. And for every choice, there is a consequence. You cannot just either make choices or not make choices and think things are going to change. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. To increase the likelihood that our choices will have good consequences, I got some suggestions for you for making good choices. And I'm going to give them to you next week. But right now, I just want you to think about some of your own choices. Think about some of the choices that are before you. You know, where are you to go to school? Where are you to work? Pastor, you mean God has an opinion of where I work? Yes. Why do you think you're so frustrated? Well, Pastor, I know God can't have me where I'm at. It is such a place I'm ready to kill people. God might have you there as being a light in darkness. So you're like, I did not want to hear that. Appreciate that like a hair in my biscuit. But we've got to make right choices, man. And you do that by making wise choices. And you do that by involving God in every aspect of those choices. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Because I want to go back to that first sub-point. And that is choosing Jesus. It's the greatest choice you can make. I can't make it for you. If you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus, but you want to just invite him into your life and then become a disciple, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. You can put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass nobody. I'm not going to make you come up here or anything like that. I'm not going to take you out back, shave your head or nothing. Just, Pastor, I need Jesus. Anybody in this room? All right, then I'm going to assume everybody's a born-again believer. Then look up here at me. Come on, let's stand to our feet. I want you to throw your hands in the air and say, Lord, help me make right choices. Help me, show me, guide me to make wise choices. And listen, you may, you know, sometimes when I make statements like that, some of the older Christians go, that's right, Pastor. I hope these young whippersnappers. No, no. I'm talking about all of us. I've been serving Jesus for 34 years, a little bit over 34, 35 years, but I still need him to help me make wise decisions. Because sometimes when I get on a roll of making good decisions, I think I got this. I don't have this. I still need Jesus on every decision. I still need Jesus on every choice. Spirit Life team, would you come? If there are those here that need prayer or want prayer, then the altars are open. They're going to lead us in a song here, and then we're going to be dismissed. But if you need prayer while they lead us in this song, just step out of your seat. Join us up here. Come on, lead us, Brad.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.